Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to his people. He has good things in store for us. His love is great. It always was. And he always watched over us to be a blessing. And he always will. We must respond to his kind of love. The same selfless love that Jesus portrayed to us, we must portray to others. His heart is towards us. And there are so many distractions so that to hinder us from reaching our full potential, being the blessing that we can truly be, and helping people go forward. The Lord didn't bring us to life for nothing. He gave us life through Jesus Christ. He gave us everlasting life, eternal life. He gave us his eternal life, everlasting life. You'll never die again if you believe in Jesus Christ. Your body will die, but it'll be resurrected. Because like he is, so are we in this world. If he was resurrected, we are resurrected. And it's important to know these things. It's important to have biblical understanding. And to get it, you have to study his word. Now remember, the word of God is alive. It translates itself. It's perfect, just like God. The words of God are God's words. And it does the same thing he does. He made us in his own likeness. Now, I heard an old man say that he didn't want to live forever. He thought that when you die, you just stop existing. But that's not the way it works. You're made in his image, which means you're not going to ever not exist. Your body will die because death is working in your body because Adam was disobedient. The Lord said, in the day you eat thereof, you should surely die. Now remember, Peter told us that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Adam lived to be 939 years old. He died the day. Within 1,000 years, he died from the time he ate off the tree. He didn't die the first day in our life. A day to us is 24 hours. A day to God is 1,000 years. And Adam was supposed to live forever. He was designed to not die. Death was not what God intended for mankind. But sin will kill. And it always will. Sin is more dangerous than it looks. So we shouldn't do those things. If the Lord say don't do it, he said it for a reason. He's not trying to hold something back from you. He's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to take your candy. He's trying to help you live. Now, the Lord made everything after his own order. And it's important to know these things. In Genesis chapter 1. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Everything has its own order. Now, the scientists want to say that things evolve. It don't evolve. The way God made it in the first place, 6,000 years ago, is the way it's made now. Everything. Nothing evolved. They say, well, squirrels learn to fly. God made the squirrels to do that. That was a species of squirrels that can fly, and they still do. They have extra skin on their side so they can glide. They actually glide. Now, it's important to know that what God put in motion stays in motion. Don't change. God made it the way he wanted it to be. And that's the way it is. Now, God, we have to pay more attention to what the Word of God is saying to us. Because God loves us. And without His love, we can't understand Him. Now, when you study the Word of God, there's an order to it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God put this in motion. And then, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So God put these wonderful things in motion. And what I want to, we're dealing with the end times. With this, see, this is under the end days series. We don't have much time left on the earth because the Lord, it's time for the Lord soon to return. So that's why he titled it End Days. But today we're going to deal with focus. People do things according to their focus. What are they looking at? How do they see what they're looking at? And things are put in motion, and it will stay in motion, whether it's in order or our order, until you believe on Jesus, until you take God at His word. And if you take God at His word, the world system is going to try to sway you back to nothing, to get you to reject what God has done for you. But what you put in motion will stay in motion until somebody changes. What you do in your family today is plotting a course for the future. I'm going to say that again. What you do today in your family, the way you live, it plots a course in the destiny of your family. So if you're looking at the Word of God, Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If you start observing God, studying His Word, governing your life according to His Word, and when things don't move along scripturally like it should, such as healing or if things get out of order, and you have to solve those problems biblically. And when things aren't moving along like they should, praise God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray, in other words, pray in other tongues. Pray in tongues. Any Christian can do this, because the Lord gave the Holy Spirit to every believer. As many as the Lord our God shall call. In Acts 2:38, Peter explained in these verses that the Holy Spirit is given to all of us. Now, you know, some Christian doctrines, they say, well, it went out with the apostles. There's no scripture for that, because Peter said by the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit was for every believer, as many as the Lord our God shall call to be saved. Everybody that gets born again receives the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what he was talking about. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit upon. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when things are not moving along in your life, pray in the Holy Spirit, because he will help you pray so that you can put in order what should be in order. That's why Romans 8 says all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, that scripture is because they were praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help them pray. And then all things will work together for good to them, because they love God and they're doing something about the problem. If we don't solve the problems that exist, they continue in our line. Our children, we're leaving hurdles for them to jump. Children govern themselves according to how parents govern themselves. Don't forget this, because it's too important. What starts in motion will continue. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com in real time. And, you know, you can share them. They can be downloaded to your iPhone, smartphone, whatever, your devices. And you can listen to them. And you can share them with friends. If the Holy Spirit says something to you that stands out and you want to hear it again, go to newlivingletters.com. It's on the audio 3 page. Now, once something is put in motion, it stays in motion. A family that fuss a lot, their children learn to fuss a lot. A family that's kind, their children learn the value of being kind. So when children see you solve your problems biblically, they have a notion to do the same thing. In their world, this is how you do it. When people overtalk each other, they learn to overtalk. They go through life overtalking people. Some people talk more than they listen, and it's harder for them to learn. They learn these things from the adults that they're around. So when we do things God's way, in their eyes, in their sight, we're setting a pattern for their future. This is how they're going to govern themselves. People that gossip, they raise children that gossip. People of understanding raise children of understanding. We bear children after the type of person we are. It gets in their DNA. So, and there are cases where people did the wrong thing and then they repented and they changed the course of their family. And with the wisdom of God and prayer, you can do the same thing. Now, when people do something wrong, they're after something. And the way that they see it becomes their focus. And that's what they act on, trying to do whatever it is they're doing. When it comes to sin, people are not trying to be, they don't start out trying to be devious. They're just trying to have a good time. Now, from their angle, they think this is going to really put them over the top. And it's going to make their life better. Now, Satan knows it's going to destroy them. And God knows that it's sin too. He knows that all sin is going to divide them against God. Now, that's something that all sin has in common. It divides you against God. That's why the enemy tempts you to do things that you know are wrong. When a man lusts after a woman, lust can't be satisfied. God made women beautiful to help us in this life, to be a blessing. And in the first place, God made one man and one woman. Not one man and five women. Not two men and not two women. So if you stick with what God did in the first place, your life is going to be better off. And all the influences that are otherwise came from Satan. When a man is attracted to a man, that's satanic. That's what the enemy, see, that's what, fornication, adultery, homosexuality. Those are the things that divide man from God. People are trying to be satisfied. And but the temptation stems from Satan. If he can get men to lust out to every woman out there, that man's going to reject God. He's doing things that can't be satisfied. Lust can never satisfy your life. Even people that are greedy, they can't have enough. Now, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, If a man loves silver, he can't be satisfied with silver. People destroy themselves trying to get rich, and they're not going to live long. And they're still trying to get rich. And they're driven to get rich, and they're driven to stay rich. And they get the money and put it in the bank, and they do all these things. Sometimes they're afraid to use it. They're afraid of being poor. They're living in torment. But the life of God, if you love God, then you're whole again. Well, you're complete in Him. But those who try to attain all these things, they think in their mind it's going to put me over the top. It's not. You're just going to have a bunch of things. But you still got the same void in your heart. Until you fill it with God's word. Remember, God's word is alive. God's word is alive just like you're alive. The word of God came from God, and it's alive and it's current. It's always living. It translates itself. It transforms you. But not against your will. If you love the love of God and you receive the word of God, it can change your life and transform your life. And Satan's trying to drive you away from that knowledge so that you'll be easy prey for ripoff. He wants to rip you off. And as long as you have false focuses, hear me good, as long as your focus is false, He can tempt you. Every time he tempted me and I desired something that he had, it was a problem. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not God's will. And when the temptation was heavy, it bothered me. I didn't want it. I knew it was wrong. But I desired it. And as long as I desired it, it was a problem. And I didn't know how to kill it. And the Lord taught me to love people, love his will, love his ways, love his word. I did. And I stood on his word, but I still felt tempted until he said, don't fear falling. And when I got rid of the fear, I had the mastery. I was the master and not the sin. Not the temptation. See, the temptation will turn into sin. And all forms of doubt is sin. Even though I didn't do anything, I felt tormented because I was in fear. But when I got rid of the fear, the torment went with it. And then I'm the master now. And this is what's going to happen in your life. If you stand firm on the word of God, you will change the course of your life. In the course of your line. And your people will honor God. And they'll choose to marry people that honor God. Now Satan's ways are roguish. And it's wrong. People who make choices to do wrong, they're inviting terror into their lives. People say, well, I was born this way. No, we were all born in sin, shaped with iniquity. But when we're born again, we were made to be overcomers. Now, people can be born again and still feel like they can't win. This is all you have to do. Receive God's word. Govern your life according to what Jesus said, according to what the prophets said. Do all of God's word. Do his word. Now, remember, with that being said, sometimes people look at the Old Testament and they try to do the rituals. They try to do the ceremonial law. All the ceremonial law, the purpose of it was they were types of Christ, to guide us to Christ. But once we have Jesus Christ, we don't need the ceremonial law. We don't need to circumcise our flesh. The circumcision of when a man used to get circumcised, they were identifying with a circumcised heart, a heart that loves God now. But it served as a reminder because wicked men will forget the things of God. But the Lord put things in motion that they couldn't forget. And, you know, I'm just using these things for an example. And the only reason we're righteous is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We were made righteous. That's why we're righteous. Not doing wrong don't make you righteous. Doing what's right can't make you righteous. It can't. You can be a blessing to everybody you know, but that didn't make you righteous. You can't be righteous by good deeds. You can't be righteous because you don't do wrong. You can't be righteous because of what you don't eat. You can't be righteous because of what you don't wear or what you do wear. The only reason we're righteous, we were made righteous because we believed on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Sin entered the world through one man, and all men were forgiven by God through one man, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in any other name. There's no salvation out there that God provided. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And nothing else. Everything else, all of men's attempts to go to heaven around Christ is a lie. And the people that try it are thieves and robbers. All of them. Every religion is wrong. Made by men and demons. All of them. Bad news. It can't help you and it can't wash your sins away. And there's no redemption in it. None. Don't try it. My best advice, don't trust anything but Jesus. Trust nobody but Jesus and his word. Now, the word of God, if you receive it, it can transform your life. And some people say, well, what if something got lost in the translation? Nothing got lost in the translation. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and sometimes Syriac and Greek. But the translations are great. Because the Lord can't judge the world unless he gave it a straight measuring stick. Now, the reason I say that nothing got lost in the translation is because the word of God translates itself. The Lord knew, he made all languages. He knew it had to be translated because he's the one who confounded man's language while they were building that stupid tower. So he got the thoughts over that you need. And if you are concerned about any word, you can ask. And the Holy Spirit will give you clarity. But watch this. If you study the word, if you study chapters, not just verses, and books of the Bible in one setting, you're going to see a broader view of what God is saying because it all works together. The word of God don't refute it. It never refutes itself. It's always a blessing. It translates itself in your heart. When you receive it, you're going to have knowledge. You won't realize how you got it sometime. But you got it because you kept studying the word of God. And it kept ministering to your spirit, your heart. And once it's in your heart, it's in you. And now the Holy Spirit will put that puzzle together for you. See, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. If you fill your heart with the word of God, now don't just read one time. Don't read through the Bible and put it down like it's a book and think you're going to remember it all. No, feed your heart the word of God. Sometimes I have to read the same chapter to get it. When I read Philippians chapter 4, it taught me how to be at peace. Be anxious for nothing. And that scripture stood out to me. I said, how can I do that? I kept reading it. And then I started reading it in faith. And then I would read it and pray it as I read it. And then I'd read it and confess it. And it got in my heart. And then it was easy for me to not be anxious for anything. When I hear bad news, I'm calm and cool and collect. And then I have the wisdom of, I have access to the wisdom of God, and that's what I choose to do. I don't have to fall apart every time something goes wrong. So when my children see me and things fell apart and I'm cool, calm, and collect, and then I tell them what to do. They're looking to me. They're learning how to govern themselves. How to not fall apart, be all anxious and frustrated and worried. Now, if you fall apart, then they're going to fall apart. And they'll go through life falling apart. If you don't believe me, look around. People act just like their parents. They do the same things their parents did. They govern themselves just like their parents did. And a little bit of their own will gets mixed into it. Sometimes people say, wait a minute, this ain't working. They don't really know how to fix it. But under pressure, they do what their parents did. Unless they start learning God's word. And they begin to govern themselves better than their parents in that area. And under pressure, they do what God would do. Our focus. If you're focused on something, it can be good or bad. Let's say it's a blessing. A man, the Lord calls a man to the ministry. But his focus is on the ministry. He wants to serve God. His integrity is intact. He really wants to do it God's way. But he's focused on the ministry. He's going to have a lousy time trying to get that ministry to be what it should be. It's going to frustrate him. He's going to want to quit. He's going to get frustrated with the people when they don't do what he think they should do. He's going to have all kind of problems, and it's not going to work because he's focused on the ministry. Well, shouldn't a man be focused on the ministry if he's supposed to be in the ministry? And yes, he should do it with integrity. But that's the hard way. The easy way is to stay focused on the Lord. And this is my message, follow God. And this will work when everything else falls apart. If you're focused on the Lord, whatever you're trying to do, go to college, do well on a job, start a business, start a ministry, or function in a ministry, whatever you're doing, it takes a lot of effort to make it do right. But if you focus on the Lord and his righteousness, it will work perfectly. Perfectly. Why? Because the Lord will show you your options and how to make the best choices throughout the course, throughout the duration. Some people started ministry in the wrong place. They didn't listen to the Lord in the first place. They took the first church they could get. But they didn't ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to go? And what do you want? How do you want to do this? They didn't let God open the door. They were focused on rushing into something. See, if you're focused on something, then the enemy will realize it. Sometime, you know, it takes him a while. But once he realizes it, he'll give you a false option. Now, the only way to correct these kind of problems is to stay focused on the Lord. Do it God's way. In Acts, Jesus said, go to all the world, start at Jerusalem, go to all the world, preach the gospel. He did. But what did they do? They went to the prayer room. In Acts, you saw them praying. They didn't just go out there. Well, let's start it here and then we'll work our way. No, they started in the prayer room. And then the Lord sent them where they should be. It worked. One time, the Lord told them where not to go. Don't preach a word in Asia. And then a few days later, or shortly after that, the Lord gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia, wanting them to come there. And that was the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's how it's going to work right. But if you don't believe me, keep doing those good ideas you got. And you'll see how far and how frustrating it can be. Then when people focus on the wrong thing, God blatantly said, don't do this. Don't commit fornication. But they're looking at the girl, and the girl looking at the guy. Sometimes they love each other, or they're excited, at least they're excited about each other, or infatuated with each other. And they don't want to lose each other. And they do it that way and not God's way. You're ruining the relationship doing that. You're putting each other's soul in jeopardy. If something happened to you and that's how you live, you'll go straight to hell. She will too. You're putting both of your lives in danger. And then what you're doing divides you against God. But if you focus on the Lord and his righteousness, and then receive his wisdom, you'll know whether that's your spouse or not. And if it is, then plan to get married. And sometimes it may be the perfect person for or a good choice for you. These are things that the Holy Spirit can answer. And if you regard what he has to say, then your life will work right. But if you're focused wrong, the enemy, he'll be glad to oblige you and help you do the wrong choice. And it causes your life so much more trouble. But when you make godly choices, your children are more apt to make